Our scripture today is back to John, as it has been, and it immediately follows our scripture from Easter. Jesus appears to his disciples, John 20. Wow, it's a long one. It's a 31. Okay, here we go. They've all been long, haven't they? And John? Huh? On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Father Almighty God, we ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we hear your word today. I'm humbled in your presence. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, our scripture today is a continuation of happenings on Easter Sunday. After Jesus has appeared to Mary in the garden, he goes to the room where the rest of his disciples are holed up, and they're afraid. John doesn't tell us if Mary had gotten to them yet to tell them the news that Jesus was risen, but I'm guessing she did. And even still, they are scared. All the disciples initially doubted the news of the resurrection. Luke 24:11 gives the disciples' reaction when the women told the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. All the disciples initially doubted Jesus was alive. And suddenly, Jesus appears, despite the locked doors, and they can see the wounds in his hands and his side, and he says, "Peace be with you." And they believe. They believe. But one disciple was missing. That would probably be me. If I was a disciple back then, I'd be the one not there. He wasn't there when Jesus came back. So maybe he was at the store. Who knows? Maybe he was running late after work. Maybe he was mowing the lawn. Maybe he was stuck in traffic. Whatever reason, Thomas arrives and all the other disciples tell him, "Jesus was just here." We call Thomas a doubter. But the picture of Thomas we get from John's gospel is one who truly believed in Jesus. Yet this believer doubted the resurrection. And that doesn't make him unique. It was just too good to be true until Jesus appeared to them. Thomas was not present, which is why he doubted. More than doubting, Thomas was disappointed. Thomas was disappointed. He had left everything to follow Jesus. But the crucifixion had shattered his dreams. He was so held by disappointment that he could not get his hopes up just to be hurt again. But I think Thomas's story really is a word of encouragement for us today. You may find it hard to believe, to have faith because you have been disappointed in life. Maybe your parents let you down, or maybe your family forsook you, or your friends betrayed you. Maybe the church has hurt you. Or maybe you feel that God himself has let you down. Maybe you're in a new environment or situation. You're missing familiar places and people. Like when Ann and I first came here. Strangers in a strange land. But we love it. But as hard as it may be, trust Jesus, even with your doubts. Matthew 12:20 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Jesus is a friend to the disappointed. Our scripture, verse 25 says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. The disciples should be commended for this. They did not hold Thomas's absence against him. They made it their business to share the good news with him that Jesus was alive. We, who are believers, ought to follow their example and share the good news with every unbelieving person. That's our job now. But note that even though they passionately shared the good news, they could not make Thomas believe. Verse 25 says, but Thomas said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and place my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Have you ever wondered how Thomas must have felt right then? Were the disciples kidding him? Were they being pranksters? After all, they were brothers. Maybe he thought they were playing a joke on him. Or were they telling the truth? And if so, why hadn't Jesus stayed around for him to see him too? All he knew was that the other 10 remaining disciples were in on something and he wasn't. Don't you hate that when there's a group of people, they're all in on something, but you have no clue as to what's going on? I've always felt bad for him. He was asked to do what the other disciples didn't have to do. He had to believe sight unseen. Probably any of the others would have had the same struggle, right? Any of the others would have had the same struggle. And yet we all know Thomas as Doubting Thomas. I wonder how long after this happened did it take for the other disciples to call him that. Oh, that's Doubting Thomas. Jesus had to come and let him touch his hands before he believed. I'd hate to be remembered for my greatest moment of doubt. Amen? Be remembered for my greatest moment of doubt, because I've had them. I could be Doubting Dick pretty easily, and I guess a lot of us could be something similar. But as much as Thomas sort of gets this label as a disciple who didn't believe, I kind of liked him because of all of them, He's the one I think most of us can relate to. We're always trying to relate ourselves to Scripture, right? Well, I think Thomas is highly relatable because most of us understand what it is to live between faith and doubt. Living between faith and doubt. Have faith? Oh, no. I doubt it. I have faith. No, I doubt it. The next week, Thomas is there again. He's with them and he still hasn't seen Jesus. And all of a sudden, the same thing happens. Jesus appears and he tells Thomas to put his hands on his and feel the wounds from the nails. Thomas believes. In verse 29, Jesus responds to Thomas's confession of faith with a question: Have you believed because you have seen me? This question acknowledged that Thomas was a true believer, but it takes issue with the means by which Thomas had come to believe. Thomas believed because he saw the marks of the cross on the risen Savior. But going forward, Jesus would not deal with doubt by making special appearances, performing miraculous signs, or submitting to personal examinations. No more show and tell. It is now hear and believe. That day we go from show and tell to hear and believe. This question of Jesus is not a rebuke to Thomas, but it's a rebuke to those of us today who claim that faith requires a special sign, miracle, or a special experience. While Jesus did make a special appearance for Thomas, it was just that, a special appearance. Jesus has already done enough to prove that he is who he says he is, Lord and God. Scripture says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the basis of saving faith: the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then Romans 10:14 asks, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? All excellent questions for us. How do we expect people to believe if nobody's told them about him? Nobody's preached to them. You may find it hard to believe that no more show and tell. Hear and believe. Jesus says to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's addressed to Thomas, but it's not about Thomas. All of his word is addressed to a much larger group of people that Thomas would never meet, us. And it issues a blessing that Thomas and the other apostles could not experience or enjoy. This is the final beatitude, and it's addressed to all those who would believe in Jesus without physically seeing him. As Jesus was talking to Thomas, he was speaking to us. He's speaking to you and me. And he announces this special blessing on those who are saved and believe in Jesus, even though they have never laid eyes on him. 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's one thing to believe based upon what you can see, but ultimately, it is not really faith if you can see it. Faith that you can see is not faith. It is knowledge. You don't have to believe what you can see. So faith requires that you trust the Lord beyond what you can know, see, and understand. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And I know you all know that one. And following Jesus requires more than knowledge. Amen. Warren Wiersbe, an American pastor and Bible teacher, said, "Christians do not live on explanations. We live on promises." And you can live a long time on a promise if you trust the one who made the promise. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's appropriate.